Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids.
Here we are.
Dream today. One of the finest announcers in the business, in my opinion, one of the finest personalities in the business.
And he did some other stuff before becoming
a couple
announcer,
things. Might be one of the greatest wide receivers of all time. Mr. Michael Irvin is here from the Dallas Cowboys. How are you, buddy?
Man, I'm doing well, guys. I'm doing well. I'm so happy and excited. Tomorrow I get to get on the airplane and go to Cleveland for a live draft. I tweeted the other day, because it came up on my phone, memories from the 2019 draft, right? And I was like, oh my God, even the phone knows, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're tracking you.
I tweeted it, and I was saying, I was watching that UFC fight. Did you guys see that the other night?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so we did live coverage of it. I almost threw up twice. The first broken ankle was a little much for me, and then the leg, right. Once that leg snapped in half, and then he tried to step back down on it, man.
And it's so funny, because it was... I don't know what word you will put there.
But coincidental.
I had just been talking about it with my workout guy, Igor, and we were talking about Anderson Silva. Remember?
Yep.
And he was saying, because he's from Brazil, he says Anderson Silva hit crack Chris Weidman. He said in the papers in Brazil, he was talking about he didn't know it, and he was trying to sit back on his leg and felt like, I was like, I don't remember that. And I watched every UFC fight.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched every UFC fight. But then we go to the fight, and that's exactly what happened. He didn't even know. Isn't that amazing? It reminded me of Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott didn't know either. Remember?
Yeah. And the irony of this, so Chuck Liddell is on our network. We actually have Anderson Silva as a guest on next Friday. And I'm curious to ask him about it because I hadn't seen – an injury like that, that kid's for Louisville, the basketball player, where his leg popped like that. And then Silva's and now Weidman's like that. But Dak Prescott's was similar, but not, there was a sock over it. So you couldn't see how bad it was. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't see the bend.
On that bone. It was more on the ankle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't on that bone, but that was hard. But outside of that was a great night of fights. I mean, all of them ended in stoppage. It was a great night.
The best all the way around. Thug Rose's knockout, that kick to the face. Were you there in attendance?
No, I wasn't. I wanted to go. I couldn't get away. I had another appearance. I was in Kansas City. I was another appearance. Mm. But I wanted to go. I almost called Dana, you know, because I'll call Dana in the RBAD. Hey, Dana, what's up, man? You know, but get me on the front seat. So the plug can fall on me. You know what I mean? I mean, I just love it, man. I think it's such a great sport. It's hard to watch boxing now. When boxing is on, I'm like, I don't want to watch this pitter-pat.
Yeah,
I don't want to watch this pitter-pat. About pitter-pat. UFC is serious, man.
It is serious, yeah. And the other thing is those guys look like everybody else, and they're just out there in public. You never know if you're going to run into one.
Walking around.
You know, you look at them ears.
Yeah.
Yep.
You look at them ears.
But we're
if I'm driving and somebody cuts me off, and I look over and I say, hey, look. Oh, I see the mirror. I'm sorry.
That's funny. So we got to.
I'm sorry. You just don't apologize.
We've got to.
Chuck Liddell. You guys know Chuck Liddell. That's my boy now. We did Dancing with the Stars together.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I did Dancing with the Stars with Chuck Liddell. And then I did Pros versus Joes with Randy Couture.
Mm.
Both different dudes. Chuck Liddell was back there getting ready for Dancing with the Stars. I had to come back and say, hey, you scaring these people. This is not a fight. You stop scaring these damn people. Like, slow down. Right?
Yeah, you're right. It's two totally different people. We did a movie with Randy Couture. He was in Range 15, obviously. And then with Chuck, he's new to the network, but he's like the most friendliest dude of all time. Not what you think, super outgoing and everything else.
Yeah, he doesn't look friendly, though, if you don't know him.
No, not at all.
Right, he does. Randy's a quiet-looking dude. But that Pros versus Joes, this guy had to wrestle Randy. And we and then they said, let's get ready to go. He went to a whole different place.
Yep.
He went to a whole different place, man. I love those guys, man. I honor them because they do that thing that no way I would do.
Right. Yeah. Well, so speaking of boxing, we're going to be at Jerry World for the Canelo fight in 2 weeks.
Yeah, on May 8th. Are you going? Are you going to the Canelo fight on May 8th?
I don't know if I'll make. I, you know, at an event like that, I may pop up. I may call Jerry, pop up, maybe pop in the box if he's in the box or something like that. Because it's a hell of an event.
Mm, yeah.
Like I go watch UFC because I know I'm about to watch somebody get the hell knocked out of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what people want to see.
I can watch UFC on my iPad, you know, boxing in a nice arena in an event. I will attend that.
Yeah, so Chuck's actually going to be with us. So if you're there, we can all hang out.
Yeah, pop on by.
Yeah, we got a box up there. It's not Jerry's box. I've been up to Jerry's box. I've been all through Jerry World, and I got to go to that private. Tank Lawrence took me to that private bar, and we actually did a Dan and I did a show in there. Yeah. What's the Jerry Steakhouse that nobody gets to go to? It's like a membership only thing. God damn, that guy does it right.
Yeah, he knows.
Oh yeah, he does. He does. Up in that top suite up there, where he had d'oeuvres and all the eating out, eat all the food to eat, hanging all out over the place. So yeah, he does do it right. But now listen, now you guys got an invitation for me. Now I'll work my schedule and pop by that box.
Yes. Oh yeah, come on, we got tickets for you.
Yeah, we got extra tickets. Come
on. Okay, let's. I'm gonna still work my schedule and pop by that box and have a drink with you, man. With all them drinks you guys got back there.
For sure,
we're going to do that.
Yes, dude. We own a ticketing company, DrinkingBrosTickets.com. So we got your tickets. Bring whoever you want. I will leave it up to you. Bring whoever you want, as crazy as you want. You can bring some of the old Miami guys, dude, from when you were at the U down there, because those guys got fucking wild. What?
Yeah.
That's how crazy you can go with this, Michael.
I think this is what needs to happen. Somebody needs to invent a device. Let's call it a Faraday box that blocks out all cellular transmission and all FM and RF transmission and put it over football stadiums, right? And just let the guys park. Because I remember watching football back then was a lot more entertaining in college than it is now, frankly.
Yeah.
Right? And I want that same atmosphere.
Why do you say that?
Because it was more violent, I guess. And the reason I was in the military, you have to decompress after you do something that intense. Chuck tells these stories all the time about how, I go do the fights and whatever. And then I go out with my team after, and we just get fucking hammered for 3 days because we've spent the last, 3 months training in the last 6 to 8 weeks in a fucking locked up fight camp. Right.
Yeah.
Then I go out there and do combat sports for a while. I got to release. And football, it's every fucking week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is intense as shit. You have to do something to take that.
He's right about that.
Yeah.
The calm down is a mug. Yeah. It's a mug. It's so hard to come down off where you have to climb to play at an elite level in any sport. In any sport. And especially football or something like MMA. Because MMA, you are in your primitive state. You are in fight or flight mode when that cage locks. You're at your primitive state, and to come up after a game. I remember a football game fan. I could have a game where I had 200 yards receiving. 200 yards, great game. We won the game. You think, man, I'm going to just go home and fall out. This is a great day. I go home. I think about the one pass that I could have gotten that I didn't have, that I could have had 235 yards and only 200 yards. And that one damn play will keep you up all night. The only way to go to sleep is with good old, just good old vodka.
Yeah.
That's the only way to go to sleep.
Yeah, and it's
you gotta keep pouring that vodka.
That's how it is.
That's really the truth, too.
That's how it is for the truly great players, or probably the truly great in any field. They don't ever remember the success. They always remember the loss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you can.
One little thing, dog. Let me tell y'all. The one thing. My God.
I'm giving Michael Irvin PTSD over here, right?
I deal with this shit every day of my life.
Yeah.
This one damn play in the 94 championship where I got Dion beat. I got him beat. I run a 7 pump. I got him beat. We can make the great comeback if I make this play. You know, we're down 21. We're coming all the way back. I got Dion beat. I see the ball. I'm watching him. He ran the ball down one time in college, made a beautiful interception. And I thought, no, I got him this time. I don't got him. And I wanted to be the hero. I said, that ball will fall right over. I'm going to get it, stretch it, and hit the end zone. Deion caught me again, grabbed my arm. They didn't call a pass interference. Every since 94, it's not a day go by that I don't say in my head, damn, I should have jumped and got that ball. I was waiting to be the hero. But if I would have jumped, he would have had to push me or something, and it would have clarified at least the pass interference.
Right.
But I was being greedy and wanted it all. And not a day goes by that I have not thought.
Did you talk to him about that? Did you talk to Deion about that afterwards and say, man, it could have been me in that play? And what was his response?
Well, you know what Deion's response is.
Let me tell you something. We've argued about this thing so much. That wasn't pass interference. Pass interference. Deion, are you joking? You grab my arm, man. He said, listen, Mike, it wasn't called. And so now when I see him, I say, hey, man, listen. He said, hey, we got to be past that. We got to be past that. He tries to stop me from even going there. Like, Michael, we got to let it go now. You know? But hey, that's my boy, man. I'm so happy
for
him.
Yeah, I love Deion.
You know, I'm doing your coach.
It's not to rub it in or anything, but that you guys would have certainly three-peated.
Yeah.
If you come back in that game, because the Chargers were not prepared to play the Super Bowl.
Right.
That
year. No.
They got lit up.
Oh, no. Okay, now let me give you the rest of it. It's not just that now.
Yeah.
This is how this thing played out, and I just barely missed it again. We went to Atlanta. We went to California. It was the first Super Bowl we played in. Mm-hmm. California.
Yep.
Practice at UCLA, and Troy Aikman got MVP. Then we played the second Super Bowl in Atlanta, right there, right close to where Emmitt was born. Mm-hmm. Emmitt Smith got the MVP. That Super Bowl,
Miami,
was in Miami. It was against the Chargers, who played man-to-man all day. Mm-hmm. That was my home. That was my MVP. And I let it get away. So you see what I'm saying? I set NFC championship records in that game, catches and yards. But it was that one play. I set an NFC record for catches and yards in that game. But it was that play that just sticks with me forever. And that says I didn't get my MVP in Miami, and then those boys got their MVP at home.
Oh, man. I bet it just keeps you up all night. If I had to think about something like that, like, it's all, look, we're not high level athletes or anything, but you always think about the investment you missed out on, or the one thing, you know, that could have gone your way in acting or whatever that didn't. But you were actually in it, playing it, living it. And it's that one play.
But also, you did have, what, like 12 or 13 catches for 200 yards and two TDs. So it's not like you fucked up the whole game.
It was the record at the time. It was the record at the time. And on top of that, I got plenty of shit back here.
Yeah.
I got plenty of proof. Why can't I let that one thing go? Yeah, I got national championships, receivers of the year trophy.
Is that an Emmy? All
kind of stuff back here.
Is that an Emmy?
You get an Emmy.
Can't let that go.
There's an Emmy on your shelf too back there, I see.
Of course, I got an Emmy.
No big deal, guys. Just an Emmy.
Anywhere they're giving out hardware, I'm going to get me some. I'm going to work hard to get it anyway.
What Dan was talking about earlier about putting a bubble over the booth with no cell phone transactions or photos or any of that stuff, you got to live it out in the era of the U. When there was no cell phones, there was no social media, you could literally do whatever you wanted. I had a buddy of mine who played on that Miami team. He started in 1990, but I think you were gone by then. The stories he had about what went on, because he was there from 90 to 93, the stories he had about what went on were so unbelievable that I couldn't even imagine what you went through when you were there and how you made it out alive. That was what I asked him after half of these stories. I was like, how did you make it out alive after all of that?
Yeah, we had so much fun. We were crazy. It was crazy. It really was crazy timing. And it was a perfect time. Coach Johnson came through, you know, and you know, Howard Snellenberger started.
Mm-hmm.
And Howard Snellenberger recruited me, and then he left. And Coach Johnson came in the same year. He and I came in the same year. My first day at the University of Miami, I got in a fight with an offensive lineman. Cracked a training table, played over his head, get in a fight. Coach called me and he said, son, listen, son, I know you had a hard time. I know you're the 15th or 17th kids, but we can't be fighting over steak here. We got plenty of steak, we got plenty of food here. You ain't gonna, you know, he said, you can't be fighting your teammates, you know. So we were such competitors in all those years. And what Coach did was great. What he did was that was great was he would always say, you guys have as much fun as you want playing. As long as you're winning,
yeah,
I can deal with it. You know, I'll take the heat. Everybody will get on us for the type of way we play and all that. He said, I'll take the heat. As long as we're winning,
yeah, yeah,
we can have fun with it. And that was all we needed to hear.
We talked about the same thing yesterday with Matt Leinart, actually, about how at USC, I mean, they were in LA, right?
Partying,
like they, Hollywood. And it's not like, let's be frank about it, it's not like a bunch of college kids were going out to party in Compton, right?
Yeah.
They were going over to LA to party. So he's involved, and they're celebrities back then. They're getting wild as fuck too. But Leinart said that he started out his career pre-social media, but he was one of the first guys to have a bunch of party photos taken and sent out on the internet.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what people expected. Like, he's right. he's the starting quarterback at USC. He's the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah, he's probably out there getting a little fucked up, man. Come on.
Yeah, and it's right. The same with you. Like you're Michael Irvin. Like, in the stories that come out about you, it's like, yeah, of course. Right. Fucking Michael Irvin's party. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, and it's like that whole thing. Remember?
That's what I'm saying. Even when I got – come on in, DJ. Come on in, though. Even when I got in trouble, you know, and all that, I was like, wait a minute. I'm a young man. I'm going to get called in a hotel room with – women and bard and everything. I mean, everybody, they were killing me in the press. They were killing me. I said, you darn well, most of you dudes wish you were in that room. Mm-hmm. Why are you killing me like this? Like, you know, at 23, 24, 25 years old, you want to be in that room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at that.
But since you're a football player, and those are things you're supposed to be doing, and everybody gets on you, I'm like, you know, you're – everybody you know this age is trying to do this. So it's just the reality. When you're a football player, you're held to a different standard, and you got to try to walk that line.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at your stats from that year. Year prior, 1,600 yards, plenty of touchdowns. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're good.
Yeah, you're good. Who cares? Who gives a shit, man?
If you're not out there, like, hurting people, who cares what the fuck you're doing? I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Like, remember that segment, Michael, in The Last Dance where Phil's talking about Rodman saying, look, dude, I've got to go to Vegas. And he's like, they're in the middle of a series. And he's like, all right, fucking go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they won.
They won. Right?
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to say?
You know what? Listen. Don't shut the door for me. Listen, let me tell you something, too. I was out there with Dennis at that time.
Oh, damn. Breaking news, folks.
And when Last Dance came out and they were showing Dennis, and Dennis said, we were running together at the time. We were at the club called Drinks. Mm-hmm. And the club had a drink. And when they started showing that, you know, I was watching Last Dance with my wife. And I was like, oh, shit. Oh, my God. Like, you know, I started getting real uncomfortable, sweating and everything. Like, hey, what they going to show? Right? I ran into Dennis. I see you got the rob. I ran into him a couple days after that in Fort Lauderdale, because we go to this place, this restaurant, all the time. We got mutual friends that own the restaurant we go to. And I was like, dude, thank God, man, that I didn't come show up on that Last Dance. I did not need that.
Yeah, you don't need that fight.
We kept it out. But that was my boy, man. I love Dennis, man.
He's awesome. He's
a different kind of dude.
So after all that at Miami, tell me about when you found out Jimmy was going to Dallas as well, when you were going to Dallas, and like how you felt that you were bringing your coach with you basically into the pros. I mean, that was a big deal.
Yeah, right? And did he tell you?
Yeah. See, I was back, you know, Brandon Kozar had graduated a couple years before then. Brandon graduated, I think, actually as a sophomore year of eligibility, and he went to Cleveland. He wanted to go home to Cleveland. He directed at home since back then, when you had to graduate early to leave college and go to the NFL. Mm. But if you did graduate early, you had control over your draft because if a team drafted you that you didn't want to go to, you could drop a class, go back to summer school, pick up the class, and then they would lose their draft choice. So I did the same thing. Hmm. Graduated my junior year of eligibility. I said, okay, I'm the poorest dude in the world, but I'm finna negotiate with the NFL. I'm gonna make sure I go where I wanna go, right? Green Bay call with the 7th pick. And I was thinking, oh my God, I'm from Miami. You don't get this dark unless you love heat. So I, you know what I mean? You don't get this dark. So agreed. So I was like, I don't know, Green Bay. I don't know about that. And I knew Dallas wanted to draft me. I really thought I would end up with the Rams because I had spent the weekend with Norv Turner, who was the Rams wide receiver coach at the time, who ultimately came to be my offensive coordinator here in Dallas. So I kind of feel I would have had the career with the Rams too, because they were in that same offense. And thank God we got Norv here. But Jimmy had told me right before the draft, he said, Michael, I know what you're trying to do, and I understand what you're trying to do. He says, but Dallas wants to draft you. And he says, none of them damn shenanigans with Dallas. And he told me, he said, I have an oil buddy of mine that's about to buy the Dallas Cowboys, and I'll probably be with you real soon. I was like, okay, coach. All right, okay. And I kind of just took it, you know, tongue in cheek, like, you know, I'm coming from the ghetto. You know, I don't know nobody. You ain't got no friend with that kind of money to buy the football team. Coach, I don't know why you're saying this, but he did. And the next year, he was there. And I was like, wow. Wow, but we needed Coach Johnson at the time. I loved Coach Landry, but that Coach Johnson change was a needed change at the time.
Yeah, he was great, and the organization back then did something that I don't see any organizations do today. I mean, look, you guys are known for having great skill players, you, Troy, Emmett, etc. Right, but what I don't see teams doing right now is stacking up dudes like Nate Newton and Larry Allen on the same team. I look at Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. I'm like, man, get this guy. I know he wants Ja'Marr Chase on his team, but for the love of God, get this dude somebody that's going to protect him at least on one side, right, of the lineup. Because he's not going to make it if they don't get somebody to watch his back. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, I don't want to pivot hard into the draft right now, but what do you think is going
to
happen?
Right, let's pivot hard to that draft, man. That's not a bad idea to pivot hard into. Now, a couple things in what you're saying, because I've always found it interesting that people come up and say that was one of the greatest offensive lines in the history of the game. That when we had that same offensive line, basically, in 88 when I got here. We went 13-3.
Yep.
We had that basically that same offensive line in 89 when Troy got here. We went 1-15. Yeah, I watched him try to block for the Terrence Flaggers and all these guys. And nobody went anywhere. And then in 1990, Emmitt came in. And soon and very soon, it was the greatest offensive line in the history. I was like, come on, man. You mean to tell me that's one of the greatest running backs right
there? Yeah, for sure.
Making that offensive line. They were the same exact dude. So now I trip when people tell me that, you know, running backs don't matter. You need, like, you build offensive line, running back. I said that's different. No, they do matter. And those special running backs, they matter. You know what I mean? The Derrick Henrys, they matter. They make linemen look good. Not one of those guys were high draft picks that we had on that offensive line, but yet they're known as one of the best offensive line. But now you take it to this day and age in this game. Well, we're throwing the ball every down. Now it's very important to spend those assets on your offensive line, because big guys, we can mush and move forward, but it takes some skill set to stand up and block somebody. And think about this. I get on these fat boys all the time. I say, listen, man, you guys ain't real athletes. I mean, you're fat boys. That's what you are. You're three. And I tell my kids at the camp, I say, it's the rule of three. I call it the rule of three. When these kids, when I'm coaching at camp, I say, soon, son, because they're 9, 10, 11 years old. I say, soon, all this new money coming in the NFL, gambling money, new streaming money, TV money. Mm-hmm. I say, by the time you get in the NFL, you're going to be 300 pounds. It's the rule of three. That means you're going to be 300 pounds. He's going to be 300 pounds. You stay in front of him for 3 seconds, somebody will pay you $300 million. That's the way this thing is going to go. That sounds easy as I don't know what, but as easy as it sounds, it's just as hard to really do, to stay in front of that dude for 3 seconds.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a premium position, and I agree with you on the running back thing. I don't think that running backs are devalued necessarily these days. I think that some of the big contracts have turned people off because
they don't live up to them.
They typically don't. But the other thing is the top three or four.
They don't live long. they don't live long.
Right. Right.
Before we start saying, oh, we get somebody else in here to run. You know what I mean? So, yeah, and it's hard to live up to it since you don't live long. And like the Christian McCaffrey, okay, after my third year, I want a new deal because I know you're trying. I only got 6 or 7 years as a running back anyway. Yep. So like Ezekiel Elliott, Christian McCaffrey, they step to him after those third year, you give them. Okay, now 3 years after that, they're like, hey, man, you're on the downside, man. You're too heavy on the cap. We got to get rid of you. Right. Let's get a younger guy in here. So it's the turnover that makes the position hard to sustain.
Exactly, yeah. And there's just so many running backs, too. I mean, the difference between McCaffrey and Zeke and a couple other guys and the rest of the field is pretty wide, but the rest of the field is pretty close together, right?
Yeah, but McCaffrey didn't play last year. Zeke didn't play that great last year. Yeah. And then, you know, we were talking about the draft, and the mock drafts that I've seen, a lot of them don't have a running back going in the first round, including Najee Harris out of Alabama, which is crazy to me.
Kuiper's got him going 24 to the Steelers.
And that boy from Clemson.
Travis
Etienne. Yes,
man.
He is a bad man. Have I not watched Etienne kill people all his whole career in Clemson? You know what I'm saying? Najee Harris, yeah, he's doing, but he comes, a slew of backs have come through Alabama.
Yep.
Etienne has been the man in Clemson. And he's, I'm like, are you joking? And I was surprised, and I had him on a couple weeks ago. From Wisconsin, the running back from Wisconsin, my boy, they went to the Colts, with the coach right now.
Yes.
How did Jonathan Taylor fall the way Jonathan Taylor, after the career he had in college? Oh my God, it's insane. And all of that is the hit that they put on the running backs.
We had the Colts GM on right after the draft, and he said the same thing. It was like, I couldn't believe he fell here. And he's also a Wisconsin alum, so he knew everything about him. And he drafted him and that other receiver. The Colts, I think, are my sleeper team this year.
I like them too.
Yeah,
Now, interesting, though. They're interesting there because it's about wins.
Right.
It's about wins. And I tell people this, guys. I tell them all the time, man, when you're playing a position like the quarterback position, I want to see what you have shoulders down, but I need to know what you are shoulders up.
Right.
You see what I mean? Wentz has some ability shoulders down, but trust it. Take it from me. When you've been in Philadelphia, they can mess you in. They can mess you up shoulders up. And then, you know what I mean? I know Philadelphia. I had a broken neck and they were standing ovation cheering. You know what I'm saying? So I know the kind of pressure they put on people. Nelson Aguilar dropped balls. Did y'all remember that? Y'all see that when that guy caught that baby out of the burning building?
Yeah.
He saved his baby's life. This was his moment. My God, you're a hero. That's a little baby. You just gave his baby all his time, his life. The first thing he turned when he looked in the paper and looked at the media and said, at least I'm not Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
Yeah, we got...
about a football game right now. That tells you how crazy they are in Philly.
It is. Our producer, Fake Dan, is a giant Eagles fan, and he hates Aguilar with a passion. And, they never forget in Philly.
No, they don't. But I just...
And Aguilar goes to make $30 million after 1 year in Las Vegas, where they didn't have any fans. He can focus on his game, shoulders up, without worrying about running into you at the store and at the bathroom, and everywhere he goes. And he had a hell of a year, and now New England is giving him $30 million. See what I mean?
Kind of out of character for that, too.
You up, shoulders up.
Yeah. That's a lot of money from Nelson Aguilar, by the way. There's some of those picks up in New England that they've spent money on in the offseason. I'm like, really? You're going to pay them that much money? A guy like you in today's league, holy God.
Yeah,
your numbers would have been like in today's league?
Oh, my goodness. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
You had seven or eight seasons of 100 yards.
Joe Jones, top guys are. That's where I would be. There's no doubt about it. But also, the Bible says, God shall not place anything upon you that you can't bear. God might know that maybe this one can't handle too much.
Yeah.
You give me $300-500 million. I don't know.
I'm less worried about you having access to the money as I am Michael Irvin as a 22-year-old with Instagram.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Stop. No doubt. I'll tell you.
Did you see Tyrese last night?
I'm glad it wasn't around when I was that age.
Yeah, Tyrese was shaving his girlfriend's pubic hair live on her Instagram stories last night. And that went viral, and it was like, what are we doing?
Well, Tyrese can do whatever the fuck he wants. He's a beautiful man.
What are we doing?
He's
Paul
a beautiful man.
Paul Pierce and those strippers.
Wait, who was doing this? Because I didn't see that. I just want to check them.
Tyrese, for science, right?
I'm not looking to see what you're doing. I just want to check the validity of your story.
Yeah.
Who
so,
was doing that? Tyrese,
the singer. He's in the Fast and Furious franchise.
He knows who Tyrese Gibson is.
He's got, so you can see her legs up above his shoulders, and he's holding the razor, and then she goes through the entire process saying, this is my king. And when he shaves my coochie, I will not get razor bumps at all. Like, no razor burns. He's great at it. And then she goes through the whole process of it on the Instagram stories last night. Paul Pierce, a few weeks back, who just got fired by ESPN for having strippers in his living room, you know, with you back in the day, pre-marriage. I know you're married, obviously. Pre-marriage. Well, your Instagram would have had 50 million followers on it.
Yeah. But we need to get the... He's whispering.
I was married then.
Slow clap for Michael Irvin, Hall of Famer. And football ended life.
My chair just broke.
This is why I always say, listen. Hey, I'll tell you guys this story. I'll just tell it to you. I remember coming home after that day, and I've never really told anybody this story, right? I remember coming home after all of that. Man, it was on the news, you know, about me in the hotel room, and the news. They got helicopters flying over my house. I'm driving. Oh, my God. I don't know what I'm going to say when I walk in this house. When I got to my house, my wife looked at me, and, you know how you guys are. I was practicing argument the whole ride home. I was practicing arguing the whole ride home. I was ready to argue and walk back out. I take care of everybody. I get everything. Because, you know, that's what we go with. Tired. I took a moment for myself and I got caught up. I was ready to go. So I had all practices, argument, everything. I walk in the house. She looks at me and I say, we're getting ready. I'm like, she said, listen. She said, God told me I'm your wife. I'm not going anywhere, but you need to go make your peace with God. Oh, you're talking about shrinking and feeling small. Like, I'd rather you argue. Let's argue. Let's just say something to me. Don't say that, because she made it between me and God and got it out of the way between me and her, and it killed me. Years later, we're getting ready to build our home, a dream home. And I'm walking around with Jerry. Jerry was putting a new development in Starwood. Dion was moving and building a house out in what we call Prosper. Mm-hmm. And they were both trying to get me in their area. But my wife had come and saw doves fly over a certain piece of land. And she says, baby, God told me this is our land. Okay, I heard it. I went and saw the land with Jerry, saw it with Dion. And then I went, Jerry, and Mandy said, well, what are you going to do? I thought long and hard about it. I said, Jerry, these are great opportunities. But how am I going to tell my wife when I came home from the hotel? Oh, yeah, that was God you heard then, but this is not God she hears now. I said, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to buy that land to do it. and the property value of my house, the land the doves flew over, has skyrocketed way better than those other properties. So, you know, hey, she was talking to somebody.
Yeah, Matt, look, maybe she was talking to God. That's insane. Let me ask you, back when you played, were you friends with all of, like, people from other teams, like Andre Rison's and the other wide receivers and all that stuff?
Well, Deion sure as shit wasn't friends with him, at least on that.
Well, until you guys played,
Well, we were friends with other receivers. Now being friends with other DBs was a whole different story. All this jersey swapping stuff they do, that's a little. I don't know if I could have done that. I mean, I could have done it if I beat you, but you are not getting this jersey if you beat me. We can't, you know what I mean? That just ain't gonna happen. You ain't gonna be able to relive beating me over and over again with this jersey in your house. So, you know, so I'm a little different in that sense.
Yeah, because I look back at it. There were so many superstars back then who had personalities, where today we don't really have that as much. And it also made the game funner.
Yeah, and people are getting credit. Like Fernando Tatis in Major League Baseball is getting criticized for being animated and stuff. Why? He's having fun, and I'm having fun watching him.
And it's entertainment.
Like, who gives a shit, dude?
Yeah.
Seriously.
But it's because everybody gets an opinion now. Oh, that's what true, so yeah. gives everybody an opinion. You right now, you guys, we can type, man, it's a beautiful blue sky. Who do you know? Who do you know? Sky? No, you know, it's just something.
That's
it's
offensive to something. Colorblind people, okay? I can't see blue.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks
yeah.
a lot.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right. And see, and that's exactly what we'll get a group of people saying. So no matter what, you're not going to get a consensus on anything.
No, for sure not. Well, I mean, the other stuff you're talking about, what is it? Just accountability, right? That seems to be in short supply these days as well. Everybody's got everybody's trying to blame everybody else for their fucking problems all the time, and very few people are trying to just grab themselves, put themselves out there, and start doing their own work. It's just the younger generation.
You know what I mean? But even back in the day when you were playing, like nobody talked about politics or anything else back then.
I'm not even talking about politics. I'm talking about work ethic.
No, but both. Where it's like, you know. The modern day athlete has changed so much to caring about a brand or being an activist or the whatever work ethic is different now than it used to be because you're so focused on 80 other things that you think the public wants you to be or what kind of money you would make after your career versus, man, let's be the best football players or whatever sport you're playing.
I'm sure the quality of the sport suffers, but also that individual's got that's a lot of pressure. All the time, dude. From the time you're like, if you're a guy that's well known in college, from the time you're 18 until you retire from whatever sport you play, you're constantly under that microscope and under that pressure all the time. That's
right.
That's fucked
up. And under pressure that people make, people believe that somehow, some way, you are to rise above all the things that it takes to grow. You know,
like a 20-year-old kid is supposed to do all that. Yeah,
20 years old. And we will make him the poster kid for making a bad decision. You know, when Dwayne Haskins got caught in the strip club, I remember them calling me and people said, man, you believe Dwayne Haskins, man, in the middle of COVID got caught in the strip club? Can you believe it? I said, no. They said, what you can't believe? I said, I can't believe that's the only one we caught. That's what I can't believe.
Well, it wasn't. It was, it was a
basketball player. Said, if that was back in my time, you'd have caught some people. You're gonna call some people because, you know, just think about it. You're 20 years old and you just got a lot of money. Oh, come on, man. Everybody twerking. You turn it everywhere you turn it on Instagram, somebody, you know what I mean? It's twerking. It's just, yeah, you gotta let a kid be a kid.
Yeah,
it's
for
just
sure. The reality. And those high stress situations are just tough, but especially for somebody that age. A lot of people will reference the calmness and collectiveness of, like, Jackie Robinson, for example, and all the shit he had to go through. People forget, one, he was an Army captain, right, who had led soldiers in combat, but also he was 28 years old when that happened. He wasn't 18, 19 years old. And that was a time when you were raised to be responsible. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like, you just can't apply that to dudes these days. It seems like
they're fewer. Yeah. They are fewer.
I watch
ballers like that.
Do you watch ballers? Like, do you watch ballers? Our ballers, yeah. Do you watch? That has to exist. We need to do a better job as a community, both in media and in sports, to make sure young people are being taken care of and not falling into those traps, right? Getting taken advantage of, getting their money stolen from them, or getting hooked on drugs and shit like that.
Well, Herm Edwards does. He does.
Herm
a
Edwards
course.
Is great. Yeah.
Yeah, he does a course every year for the new guys coming in, or he used to.
The NFL offers opportunities for those guys to get help in situations, but you got to understand too. Now, listen, these are guys like me, just like me, coming from the ghettos, and all of a sudden, really, you're a CEO of a brand. Now you have to hire people and put around you. You don't know who to hire. You hire people you know that don't know anything because they were with you when you were broke.
Right.
And my boy, he my PR guy. Like, come on, dude. Like that's just, you know, but somebody has to undergird them and help them make better decisions. Those are the realities of it. You know, I told Commish one time when I went to the Hall of Fame, I said, Commish, I said, we get upset because these young guys don't respect the history of the game. I said, it's not that. I said, they're not playing the game because of the history of the game. Most of these guys are playing the game to escape their own damn history. Mm-hmm. The ghetto, that hellhole, having nothing, broke, wanting to raise their mom. I said, once they get in the league, we got to start teaching them the history so they can have an appreciation for it. But stop expecting them to come in because of the history when they're really just trying to escape their history.
Yeah, and you, I believe, are you one of 17 kids?
Yeah, one of 17. Absolutely.
Goodness.
15th of 17. I'm one of the youngest, and it all falls right on this desk. I mean, all of it falls on this. Everything that goes on in this family will fall on this desk.
I'm sure, right? Because, look, out of one of 17, you made it to Uber fame, an Uber superstardom. You're obviously the Hall of Fame. I'm sure there is a million calls a week. Hey, Mike, can I get some money for this, or can I get some money for that, or help with this and help with that? And it's that's got to be a tough thing to deal with. How do you separate the family from, hey, I've got to take care of my own family as well?
It's how I try to figure. I want to help but not hurt.
Right. So you want to teach a man? You want to teach a man to fish and not give him a fish, right?
Right. Right. And so how do I mitigate this? How do I get through it? I mean, I'll give you an example of how I try to work through. Maybe, a sister called, and my sister, she went to some of these little flyby dentist people that come in and do these $5,000 new teeth everywhere, whatever, messed her up completely, went on back to wherever country they were, and she couldn't find them. So she'll call me and say, you're missing my teeth. The dentist said it'd be $30,000 to get the teeth fixed and everything, and I'm like, $30,000. So I got to dodge her for about a month. Dodge, I'll call you back this time. I'll call you. I'll miss a call. In a month, if she calls me, and when she calls me, I'll answer the phone and say, hey, babe, okay, you've been working on it? Yeah, yeah. How much do you need now? If she says she needs $29,900, I'll give it to her. Because at least she did something trying to move towards it, even if it's only $100. If she still needs $30, then I'm not doing it.
Right.
I need to know that you're moving somewhere, that you're trying something, and then I can help you. But if you're not moving, you're just waiting, then I'm hurting.
Right. It's a good analog for society at large right now. People seem to be waiting around for somebody else to help them out. And this is a saying we have in the military. Nobody's coming to save us. We got to take care of ourselves, right? Ultimately, that's the way it's got to be. But that goes both ways, right? You need to have the mentality that you're going to do everything you can to succeed, but you also need infrastructure that will support that. Not only does the infrastructure have to support, you have to believe that it exists, and it exists for you as well.
Yeah, right? But it's tough when it's your family.
We all need help. We all need help to get somewhere, something. Maybe different things, I love Bishop. Bishop Jakes ain't giving me any money, but he helps me with my personal growth, because my professional growth outgrew my personal growth. That's why I got into some of the situations. You see what I mean? It's not a money thing, but we all need help in some things. And so it's not bad. It's not a bad thing to need help. It's just a bad thing when you're not trying to help yourself.
God damn it, Michael, we're on a roll. I hate to stop you. You've done some podcasts before. You know we got to pay the bills around here and try to keep the lights on. I'll make it short. I'll try. I love the products, though. GhostBed.com/drinkingbros is the first one up. 30% off everything in the entire store. Pillows, 30% off. Sheets, 30% off. Mattresses, 30% off. Adjustable bays, 40% off. Big boy savings at GhostBed.com/drinkingbros. Hop on these deals. And if you're saying to yourself, I can't afford that, well, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest, at GhostBed.com/drinkingbros. So you can combine all of these deals together with that and walk out with a new bedroom set for right around $35 a month. It's awesome. Go to GhostBed.com/drinkingbros today and get on these deals. Next up is MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS will get you Your first deposit matched to $1,000. Use our promo code Drinking Bros to get a free deposit bonus and start your day off with a win. We're talking about the draft here, D'Anthony.
Yeah.
We're going all in. Live
this is
show.
This is going to be one of the more, I mean, look, it's coming back live after a season of oof.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to explain it other than that. It was just terrible. So it's going to be fun to see everybody back in there. And there's also contention. Like some years it just lines up. Like you're pretty sure where everybody's going this year.
Yeah.
After two, I have no idea.
Me neither.
Like I don't know what the Falcons are doing it for either.
Boy, don't you test me on that.
I know, I'm just saying.
I've already bet it on mybookie.com. I already put 200 on Pitts. If we don't get Pitts, I'm going to rage that night. I am going to rage that night. But you can bet with us all throughout the NFL draft. The beauty of it is, as these weird picks fly off the board, like Dan was saying, after number three, congratulations. We don't know who's after that. The odds are constantly going to change. You will see us on our phones betting my bookie on our computers, betting for each and every single pick along the way. That way you can tally it up and see how you did against us at the end of the night. And then Saturday's the Kentucky Derby. That's the best time to win a lot of money because the odds are high and a lot of these horses, you can just sprinkle on a few of them and try to win some big cash, dude. Go to mybookie.com, promo code Drinking Bros will double your deposit up to $1,000. So if you put $1,000 in, you're going to wake up with $2,000 in your bank account. It's amazing. Huge fan of those guys. And that's all of our bets go through there. So Saturday morning, we'll be live from the Kentucky Derby. Probably outside the hotel room, which is like a mile away, giving you the odds live on air. I don't know what the COVID stitch is there yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. We might have to do it from the hotel. Either way, we're going live that day, so you can get your odds on that. Last but not least, we've got PolicyGenius.com. That'll get you started right. Reshop your home and auto insurance rates, and you could save up to $1,055 a year. That is the average savings on PolicyGenius.com. It's one of those things, man, where it's April. We're heading towards, May right now, and taxes are due and all that stuff. It's when you start tallying up the numbers for your household of like, all right, well, how much am I paying for my auto insurance? How much am I paying for my house insurance? Shit. And then you look at the numbers, and you're shocked because it's been on auto pay all this time, and you're like, dude, can I get better numbers? Yeah, you can. If you go to PolicyGenius.com, all you do is plug in your current plan. They'll do the rest for you and then hit you back and say, hey, man, we found a better plan if you're looking to shrink it. And on average, again, they've saved customers up to $1,055 per year by reshopping their home and auto coverage. Getting started is easy. Mm-hmm. Again, you just go there. Go to PolicyGenius.com, answer a few questions about yourself and your property. PolicyGenius takes it from there. They'll compare rates from America's top insurers, from Progressive to Allstate, to find your lowest quotes. They'll look at ways to maximize your savings, including bundling your home and auto policies. Mm-hmm. Policy Genius can promise you that you're not going to leave their website feeling like a fool, Dan. They've saved customers, again, I'm going to repeat this one more time, on average, up to $1,055 per year compared to their current home and auto policies. Head to PolicyGenius.com to get started now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Insurance. I was so close. I was so close on that. I bundled it. I went too low. I went too low with the voice. Sorry, Michael.
Right. So how do you, it seems like you've got a system there, but we're in our 40s now, right?
Yeah, you are, but not me.
But you have kids.
Yeah,
I've got kids. I don't have kids, but I do feel responsibility to mentor younger people, particularly people that watch a show. How do you communicate that lesson from zero, right? Because we're at zero right now. There's a very large portion of populations, both in inner cities and in like coal mining towns in West Virginia, that don't believe that society at large gives two fucks about them, right?
Yeah.
And maybe it doesn't, right? That might be another problem to address. But if it does, and it seems to be working for a lot of people, like what Marcellus Wiley said about LeBron the other day, was like, look, you're talking about a system that's hopelessly broken, but it allowed you to become a billionaire and never get arrested. So that's, you know, so how do we... How do you convince people to believe in this shit? You know what I mean? And to get invested and feel equity in society. You know what I mean? It's tough.
Yeah, that's a hell of a golf right there. Marcel is pulling those two together. Mm. You know, the system that, okay, allow them to make $1 billion and not get arrested. LeBron helped himself not getting arrested
exactly.
by making good decisions.
Exactly.
By making good decisions. Yeah. It's not that the system helped him to make a good decision. He didn't make any bad decisions. He's so mature for his age. That's mm-hmm. what I was talking about earlier. Troy Aikman is like that, so mature for the age. I remember we were in the locker room. Troy, we used to come home from football games. There were girls, like, you know, girls in my house before I got married. There were girls at my house when I got home, naked in the pool. We came home, there was somebody at Troy's house, some girls naked. Troy called the police. We rode with him forever. Every day we came in the locker room.
That's hilarious. Holy shit.
You know what I'm saying? But he's like that. Yeah, he's, a lot of us come home, you know, hey, we just jump in the pool and say, let's fart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, there are some guys that are just more mature than others. I wish I had that maturity that mm-hmm. he had.
Yeah, speaking of which, because you were talking about fighting over the steak freshman year, you know, when at Miami, I heard a rumor, and you can only confirm it, from a guy named Paco. Do you know a guy named Paco that you kicked the shit out of a guy your rookie season in a hotel room on your own team, broke all the beds?
Paco worked for this dude, and I was taking over the basketball team. And I know, you know, Paco's. I just did. I was like, hey, come on, man. Like, you know, they were all on him all the time. They were all on Paco all the time. I was like, man, come on, man. This man, don't stop treating him that way. Stop it, man. We don't have to put somebody down to build ourselves. You know what I mean? The dude's mm-hmm. working. The guy has the worst job in the world. We're playing basketball game. After the game, we dropping our clothes and our dirty jocks. You know, that's been all through our balls, sweating everything. He has to pick them all up and get them clean. We don't have to rag this man. Let the man do what he has to do. And so I was just trying to stop those guys from getting on him like that.
Well, but I heard you kick the shit out of this guy so bad that he never said another word to Paco, and everything in the hotel room was smashed to pieces. And they were like, yo, Michael Irvin is about that fucking life. And I was like, is that true? Yeah.
And this was a line. It was a linebacker. I don't know. You know, I for some reason, I'm always getting into it with the big guys, linemen, linebackers. Like, come on, man, just say, give me a DB and let me and beat him down. But it doesn't work out that way. It's always the big guys. But I thought I was standing up for the right calls there. You know what I mean? And we're great friends. Me and that dude were great friends to this day. But he was wrong. He was wrong, and I stood in to stop it.
So maybe there's a amongst friends a time for each other to slap each other around a little bit, right?
Yeah, it's fine.
I mean, it's conflict resolution happens at the lowest possible level. If we can solve it.
No, it's youth. That was youth.
Right.
That we didn't know. It's youth and immaturity because you don't know how to talk out your problems.
Right, yeah.
You just want to fight out your problems. That's that primitive state. I studied this, that primitive state, and this is true too now. This is true because I studied this stuff. They're talking about if your mom went through any kind of stressful situations in the third trimester, the cortisol goes to the brain of the baby and tell the baby to prepare for a fight or flight environment. So now your brain development, it goes mammalian into your cortex. So you'll have a bigger mammalian and cortex. I'm more apt to fight than reason. It serves me great on the football field, but when I leave the football field, I'm more apt to fight than reason. It doesn't serve me so well. They tell you when you read these things, when you read this book, it tells you knowing this is 75% of the chance, or it gives you a 75% chance of winning it. Because now I can get in a situation and I catch myself rising as, hey, you ain't on the football field. Let this go. You know what I'm saying? I have to bring myself back to reasoning. And there are a lot of people like that. There are a lot of people like that.
Yeah, part of it's has to be due to Miami. There is something about the city of Miami itself that just breeds fucking street fighters. Masvidal, Kimbo Slice, all those guys. There is something about it because, dude, all of the rumors I heard about you, you didn't lose any fights. They were like, dude, Michael Irvin just beat the shit out of people, man, if they were in the wrong. And what is it about Miami itself?
I shouldn't have. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have. I wish I could have.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have. That seems like society correcting itself.
As you get older, you wish you could have handled it better. You know what I'm saying?
Well, for sure, but that's your older mom.
Young Michael, I said, you mug. Jewelry. I ain't need this jewelry to get no girl. All this junk you did, just did dumb stuff. He just did dumb stuff.
But
man.
Do you think
But we made it. We survived.
Is there any way that the other person in question would have, that you could have even talked to him, right? Like at that age, when both dudes are alphas and full of testosterone and shit, like sometimes you just got to fight, man.
Or sometimes it's just Miami. No. I mean, are you friends like Masvidal and those guys? I picture you friends with everybody from Miami. I feel like you're the mayor of that city.
Now, you know what? I haven't met Masvidal, but Colby Covington, all of those guys, yeah, I know him. I know him very well. But they're all fighters, man. I mean, real, true fighters. I love watching the UFC, man, and all those guys. I didn't know Uriah Hall. He fights out of here in Dallas. You know, and Usman, I think he's from somewhere around here in Dallas. So yeah, I know some of those fighters because I go to the fights. And Dana used to bring me in to speak over at the fighting conference, you know, to speak to all the fighters. I got a chance to just sit around and talk to them. So I know a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. It's the one sport that was able to stay open through all that bullshit. And it's also one that hasn't seen any slip in its ratings at all.
Right? Yeah.
And they're putting out more content now than they ever have. And they're still maintaining the ratings.
So Dana White does it right. He's the best commissioner in all of sports. Mm-hmm. Him and probably David Silver is up there.
Silver's good.
You see what he went through, though, when he first stepped out. They were killing him. What did you do? They were killing him. I texted him. I said, man, thanks for staying strong. Mm-hmm. Thanks for staying strong and staying out front. And that's the very nature of a hero. A hero is he who goes first. Like if you ask somebody to go to college first in your class, in your family, the first one, he's a hero because he sets the way for everybody to come after him. Not the traditional, oh, save somebody, we'll call you a hero. No, the hero is he who goes first and take the brunt of the win. And Dana certainly did that to get us back to where we need to be in sports.
I want to ask you about something. You were talking about The Last Dance earlier. As I was watching it pretty much saved me through COVID, I feel like, because it was on week to week and it was the greatest doc I've ever seen. All I kept thinking of is what is next. Was there any cameras back when you guys were playing? Because you had the same type of personalities. You probably had wilder stories than a lot of those guys. Is there any footage that is lost from them that they could piece together for a Last Dance doc about the Dallas Cowboys from those 90s teams?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they got footage. I'm sure they're going to keep them lost. I'm sure. I'm sure. At least I hope they keep them lost. I hope they keep them lost.
Yeah, because if you look at it now, right, because you got to go back and shoot the interviews for what happened during the footage and everything else. Like, look, you're one of the most popular personalities in sports. Obviously, Troy is announcing. You got Emmett and those guys still around. It would be unbelievably fascinating if they did, but I'm sure it would ruin a lot of relationships today.
Right. It'll be, yeah. And all of those guys, everybody's doing well. We don't need somebody, you know, to try to do this like, oh, I'm down. This will give me a chance to get up. A lot of guys are still doing well, so it can only bring down. Let's just leave them lost.
In particular, the White House. Everybody talks about the infamous White House down there.
Oh, man, that White House was – it was so fun. I remember, guys, I'll give you a quick story that I have to hop up because they got to
get
coming up, but I'm going to give you this. I remember, right, Leon Lett. We're over by the Cowboys Cafe, and Leon Lett called me and said, hey, Michael. Mike. The media heard about the White House. The media heard about the White House. Man, you need to close it, Mike. You need to shut it down. I said, dude, this ain't the damn movies. This ain't New Jack City. Shut down the car. I ain't shut nothing down.
Yeah, what do you think? You think I got Ray Donovan on the speed dialer?
You remember New Jack City when he said, got to shut down the car? Nothing down. This ain't no movie. Right. So about 2 weeks later, boy, we're in the meetings, and this stuff is breaking all over the news about the White House. I said, oh, my God. Jerry calls me out of meetings and into his office, and he's like, What about, Michael, this news stuff breaking on the news about this extra house you guys have that you go to and party and have fun? He says, you know, I've always backed him, Michael. As long as you tell me the truth, I need to know what's going on. What happened? What is this about? Is this true? I thought long and hard, like, where do I go with this? And the answer I gave him, I said, boss, I was trying to do the wrong thing the right way. I was trying to do the wrong thing the right way. He started laughing. He said, are you kidding me? Is that the answer you're going to give me? I said, that's the truth. Wrong thing the right way, because we were all, you know, guys were going to hotels $300 out here. I said, man, let's just put this in a kitty and we get a house and we can go to the house anytime we want, you know what I mean? So I was really trying to do the wrong thing the right way, but as always it turned out wrong in the end.
But you own the property, so at least you were financially smart about it.
You know how we got caught? At first we were good. We would park away and walk over there. And then as it got comfortable, everybody starts pulling up. So we're in this little neighborhood, and you got 15, 20, 30 beautiful cars sitting out front of this little house. Like, oh, wait a minute. Everybody's coming over. And then the neighbors started worrying and started peeking in to see what happened. And yeah, we had to shut her down. We had to shut her down.
I love how you went full Nino Brown, though, New Jack City. We ain't shutting shit down.
Yeah.
We ain't shut down nothing. You out of your mind. Shut her down when he said it. I should have shut her down. All right, I got to get these TV guys.
No, absolutely. We do this thing to end the show called the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
Oh, my God. That's a great, you know, my high school coach. My high school coach, man, and I always give a speech when I talk about people like this. My high school coach and another person, I just lost her to one of my high school teachers, because my junior year when I transferred to St. Thomas, I had to sit out. The public school took me to court. I couldn't play any sports my junior year, so I had to sit out that whole year. And she took me, and I needed it. And she drilled down that one year to catch me up in schoolwork. You know, catch me up in schoolwork. I was crying every weekend, couldn't play. But she drilled down. Her daughter Jen, who's my great friend still to this day, was my tutor. And they got me caught up in school. Ultimately, like I told you, I went on and graduated with a BMO degree, business management and organization. And also some minor courses in communication, which is what I do now. So I thank her for it, because I wouldn't be here without her. And I thank Coach because he invested in me. You know, this coach that came and said, son, you got an opportunity. We just want to put some people around you and undergird you and help you make good decisions. And when you get to where we know you can be, just don't forget us. Just don't forget us. Now, they'll call every now and then and say, hey, Michael, remember what we said 100 years ago? The stadium needs some new lights. It's 200,000, you know, but that's all. That was the deal, and I'm cool with it.
And we're cool with you. One of the best doing it today. Yep. Man, love you, buddy. What's your NFL draft coverage? When's that start for you?
Oh, well, it starts Thursday. We'll do that red carpet Thursday night from 6 to 7, and then, you know, and then move it inside. And I love this time, because these are like 32 lottery winners on Thursday night, you know. Mm-hmm. And you get to tell their story on the red carpet as you sit there and interview them. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Hey, and we're looking forward to watching you. We know you got to jump. Thanks for being here, buddy.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. Yes, I could have talked all day.
Best in the biz, man. Best in the biz. That guy doesn't give a bad interview ever.
No.
Ever.
No, he's always on.
Ever. It's a dream. And you understand how certain athletes make a living for themselves after playing. You've got to have a great personality.
Yeah.
Deion, sure, yeah. Him, like even Marcellus Wiley is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they also take the time to – there's a lot of dudes that talk.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, several dudes that take the time to actually be thoughtful about what they're saying. I mean, frankly, I never really expected as a child to hear Charles Barkley making thoughtful political statements.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just wasn't on the menu. You know what I mean? But it turned out that way, right? So it's interesting to see how that works. And the guys that actually, like, we're not always going to agree with what people say. Like he agreed with half of what Marcellus Wiley had to say. That's reasonable, right?
Yeah, I don't care.
The rest. But
everybody's got their own opinions in this world.
Yeah,
I don't care.
But people that actually, it's different when somebody's just rehashing some fucking stupid meme they saw on Facebook, and when they actually have looked into it themselves, mm-hmm. and they can talk about it. I can talk to that person. Somebody that's repeating fucking talking points, I'm like, all right, man.
I'm good.
I'm not going to play this fucking game of premeditated chess with you. This is stupid.
But with him, you're getting an honest answer every single time. Mm-hmm. That's hilarious and totally shit, dude. This Michael Irvin did not disappoint. You always wonder, you know, you see about like the Stephen A. Smith and mm-hmm. him going at it, and you're like, yeah, same energy in real life, and then boom, there it is. Because I have not met him actually.
Who, Stephen A.?
No.
Michael Irvin. Yeah. Oddly enough, yeah, I haven't either.
Yeah, I've met Stephen A.
As much as we've done with Dallas.
I know. We do a lot of stuff at Cowboy Stadium. I'm surprised. But he's great. Man, what a great show.
Mm-hmm.
It's days like this where you're just like, shit, I'm fucking lucky to do this job. That's amazing. As a kid, dude, you watch him play and you're like, eh, next thing you know, he's on your show.
Yeah, it was good.
That's fun. We appreciate you tuning in. And like Michael said, the NFL draft is Thursday night. We will be live covering that draft with him as well. Probably have his channel on, and then we'll cover it up with a logo so that we don't get dinged by YouTube. Mm. But hop on over to Drinking Bros Sports for that one. Some of you have asked of like, hey, how do you decide what sports guests to put on when mm-hmm. and where? Like Michael Irvin's one of the most famous people of all time. So it's right. Like, yeah,
that one's a pretty easy one.
Yeah, it was an easy decision. And then shit, man, on the sports network, because tonight we got Matt Leinart from fucking USC. The Heisman Trophy winner on there. And that's a banger of an interview.
Yeah, it is.
Dude, he's fucking awesome, man. So it's back to back. But join us. We'll be going live for about 5 hours. And like I said, coverage will start about an hour before. We'll have a Tailgate Legends show. I believe Tansy and Jesse are going back at it again for that. So join us. That'll be on our Drinkin' Bros sports feed. So subscribe to that on YouTube, as well as go to iTunes and Spotify and subscribe to that as well. And please, please rate all of these shows 5 stars and leave a review. Yeah. That's how they work their chart system.
Yeah.
So and it helps with our advertisers.
Also, make sure you're up on MyBookie because we're going to be doing a lot of gambling later in the week.
A lot of gambling.
Thursday and Saturday, we're just going to be rattling off fucking picks all day. So keep your eyes open for that.
And those are two of the biggest days of the year to gamble because it's fun.
Yep.
Man, I'm still stuck on that third pick. I saw Chris Sims' mock draft today, and people exploded at him on Twitter. He's got Justin Fields at 32 and no running backs in the first round.
I could see. I mean, honestly, I think
32 is the Bucks.
I feel like at the end, I agree with Michael Irvin. I don't know why at the end isn't rated above Najee Harris. Like, Harris is a great running back for sure, but Etienne is a great football player. Like, he's
right.
You can line him up in slot. He's like if James White was also a great tailback. That's what he is, right?
Yeah.
But he's quicker than him too. We'll see how he does the NFL. It depends on where he goes, obviously, and how they use him.
Yeah.
I mean, if let's just say, for example, you're the Chiefs and you have the opportunity to take him and with your 29 or their 31st pick or whatever it is, fuck, take him and put him on
Hilaire?
The same teams. Put him on the same team in the split back with Hilaire and fucking Travis. You don't even need wide receivers at that point.
Yeah.
Honestly. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's crazy. Yeah, but Chris Sims is taking some heat. If I can pull up this chart here.
He takes a lot of heat all the time with his, like, especially his quarterback ratings. Mm-hmm. But if you go back and look, he's actually pretty on point.
And that's what I said. So some people, some of our listeners asked me to comment on his draft board. So I did, and I said, look, I think the top half of his board looks pretty on point.
Yeah.
But I think he does it based on, like, his – not what he thinks is going to happen, but on his own talent evaluations. So, like, the year Pat Mahomes got drafted, mm-hmm. he had Pat Mahomes 1.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. So he's got Justin Fields at 32 and this one going to the Buccaneers. Look, for the most part, shit, this top 10 looks kind of where I thought, except for Chris Fields, swap out Trey Lance. But, I don't have that many problems with it, but he does not have any running backs in the first round in this. And it just goes to show you how much they devalue the running backs.
Yeah.
On a rookie deal, though, you know, you can get the most out of them and then yeah, figure it out from there.
Najee Harris is a fucking – he's going to be a great running back for somebody for 4 to 6 years probably.
Oh, yeah,
like,
dude.
Elite-level running back for 4 to 6
he's
years.
He's a tank.
I mean, that's a good deal. He's a first-round draft pick for sure. And if he falls out,
I think so too.
If he falls out, I'd be surprised. But I mean, I bet.
What was the other mock? Where did they have him going?
Like 24th to the Steelers is the last one I saw.
That's a great spot for
Mel Kiper's board. Yeah,
that's a great spot for him.
I mean, it's for modern drafting, that's about right.
Well, and then for the Steelers themselves, because you know that Connor kid was getting hurt. I forget who the other kid, Benny Snell Jr.'s over there. He's Najee Harris though could be a star, so yeah. That would be a decent fit. Pittsburgh's always been a running team, so we'll see. But join us Thursday nights. We'll probably be going live around 6 p.m. Central Time here in Austin, Texas. Yep. And yeah, dude, I was laughing so hard the chair broke. The fucking holy shit, Michael Irvin, dude, one of the best, a true original. For D'Anthony Holloway, I am Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros. Game.